Now, before we stand up for prayer together, let me read a word of God from Colossians chapter 1, from verse 9, a couple of verses. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. This is a wonderful word. Let us now stand up for prayer. Dear God, we thank You with all our hearts, also for this hour of grace which we could experience still. We thank You for this gracious day. We worship You. We are Yours and You are ours. Receive us, Lord. You won the victory for us on the cross of Calvary, and for this we are so happy and grateful, Lord. And we give You the glory also tonight, that we can be here again to worship You, to praise Your wonderful name, and to glorify You, because You are my God, You are our God, O Lord. Lord, for this reason we come together, so that we praise Your wonderful name, that we sing unto You, that we worship You, and we tell You everything what touches our hearts, and we ask You, Lord, may You speak to us this evening through Your holy and precious word. We worship You. Let Your glory be at work amongst us. Take all evil out from our hearts, from our midst, and give us Your good Holy Spirit, so that our hearts are filled to praise You, and that we can then go, oh, how wonderful You blessed us. We praise You and worship You. Please continue to lead us in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thanks be to the Lord for the privilege that we can be here. I am sorry that you are sitting in the dark. There shall be light at evening time. Praise and thanks to the Lord. What a grace that we can still come together, hearing His word, taking it to heart, and to let ourselves be prepared in His presence. Whether songs, whether word, whether prayer, everything comes before God. And in us comes a longing to be part of it when the Lord returns. But not only that, but in the meantime, to be available for Him. Since I believed, it was in my heart to not only be once or one day there, but here, to be here for Him. I believe that this is in every child of God like this, that we surrender our lives to Him so that He can live His life through us here on this earth. We have no own plans, no own willing, but we want that He comes to His right, and that all what He planned, this He shall carry out. He needs people for it. whom he can send, to whom he can speak, and through whom he can speak. With God, nobody can come and register and say, I'm unemployed, I'm coming now, and I'm asking whether you have something. No, God uses everyone. Actually, in the kingdom of God, there's no unemployed person, and no one who has to take payments, but all are placed and set in. And Brother Branham says in one place, the housewife at the stove has her task, and she serves God, and at any time she can be a testimony for everybody. The ministry in the kingdom of God starts not here at behind the pulpit. The ministry starts there where one is, where God blesses us, and where he puts us, and where he can use us. We want, every time when we sing of it, that we will be in glory, we want to be sure that we did everything what he commanded us. And then we see on top of it, we say, we are nothing but just useless servants. We just did our part. I had the thought when I was told today that a brother who doesn't believe the message at all, now he manufactures the largest tent in the world with a 3-meter pole to then fulfill this vision. There I had to think by myself, oh, how, what a pity. You don't know that Brother Green, with this man, a German, in South Africa, he spoke about this vision. And there, I know it. Yeah. I thought by myself, look, already it starts again. Brother Branham, he had a mighty ministry. The people came. They tried to do the same without knowing that every imitation cannot be the original. Every copy is not the original. It can be so good and so fine, but God will stand to everything what he said and what he promised. And we will be victors with him. More than ever before, we put our hope in the grace of God, which was given to us in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we have the more sure word of prophecy. And believe me, we time and again emphasized it, how important the sermons of Brother Branham are, so that we can differentiate, distinguish, and judging the things spiritually. Spiritually is not he who thinks to be spiritual, but the one who through the Spirit of God, the Word of God is revealed, and who has the view, who gets the view from the Spirit of God, based upon the Word of God. It became so great to me that all gifts of the Spirit and all fruits of the Spirit, they are within the Word of God. And everything what God does must be in conformity with the Holy Scripture. Here we read in the word of introduction something very, very precious. I don't always want to read. You know, this is not the best, but such a word, this we must really take to heart. Here it's written, For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will, not with the knowledge of my or your will or our will. With this the world is full, and all the churches and all groups and every individual is full of His knowledge. It goes over, beyond measure. But here it says, that ye might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom. There where His will is, will also the wisdom be worked by the Spirit. Not you and my wisdom, but the wisdom worked by the Spirit and spiritual understanding. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. These are all very deep thoughts. Brother Branham preaches the sermon, Is Your Life Worthy of the Gospel? He says, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. What is worthy of Him? This is the question. And so we are, on the deep inside, we are addressed. And it says, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Also, this is a precious word, wonderful, deep thoughts. And it goes on with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who made it? Not you, not I. We should give thanks unto the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. One could deepen oneself in all these words and thoughts. Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. The kingdom of darkness has a power and has executed it. But God has taken us out of this kingdom, of the power of darkness. He has taken us out and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. So, from the one area, we were taken out and were put into the other one. The sermon, which we will touch upon this evening, which we want to deal with, some scriptures are based on. Also the one from 1 John chapter 4, actually only verse 4, but I want to read from verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. Now comes the verse which Brother Branham read. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is the verse which Brother Branham used in this sermon, also from Mark. He that is in you. I would like to read this verse 4 once again, and then up to verse 6. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Also, this is a very serious word, a far-reaching, deep-going word. Everyone wants to be of God. Everyone wants to be with God in glory. And all think to be in conformity with the word. And all are not in agreement with one another, let alone with the word or with God. But the Lord, by grace, really only by grace, he has given us a possibility to be tuned with the word. And just recently, somewhere in a music shop, I've seen how the man who wanted to tune the instrument, he had this tuning fork in his hand, and he bangs somewhere on it, and then he holds the tuning fork onto this instrument, and then it's tuned. I've seen it many times, that somebody has the fork, and then putting it on the ear. This I've seen many times. Already previous, in the Baptist choir, many years ago, I watched it, although I couldn't sing. But I've heard and seen it. Since the beginning, I've seen it. But this man, he had the tuning fork, really, he banged it, and then he held it onto the instrument, and then he tuned it. I think this is a good lesson. With the thing itself, one must touch it, one must be in connection with it, not just from hearsay, but really having a connection to the thing. Everybody can tune how he likes. We're not to discuss about tuning, but it's just today it's about more than it was 100 years ago. Today it's about more than it was 20 years ago. Today it is about more than it was 10 years ago. Today it is about everything. About everything. And the tuning fork, It must really be pressed on it. And then not everybody can come. I'm now a musician. This is impossible. It must come from God. And we will see that God has a way. And all who are of God hear God's word. They don't hear the interpretation or what you or I have to say about God's word, because this is everywhere it can be heard. But they hear God's word. And this we sometimes emphasized. About God all speak. But through whom does God speak? This is the question. Every preacher preaches of God. He may preach what he likes. He preaches of God. In every church, free church, denomination, fellowship, everyone speaks of God. But the question is, through whom does God speak to you and me? Through whom can God let go forth his word fresh from the throne? Also this I was thinking many times, and I said it many times here, the prayers, which sometimes went up into the nights many years ago, always the prayers went into one direction. Oh God, give us your word fresh from the throne. This was the tenor in all the prayers. And behold, when God gave his word freshly from the throne, all them who were supplicating and longing for it, they didn't listen to it, because it didn't come through their channel, but through a mouth which God used and determined for it to speak through him. Actually, we all should by this fact be convinced of the correctness of a matter. Because when it comes in the way as you and I would like to have it, then we can make a question mark behind it. But when it comes in the way as God promised it, then we should believe. And you all know, when God should take sides with someone, here prays one group, oh God, reveal yourself. And the other group prays, oh God. God wouldn't know at all where he should do something. All have their own programs. No, God has a counsel. And he does nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And many times we have said it. In a prophetic time span, interpretations are not useful. And all the prayers which are not in conformity with the word of God do not agree with God. And they are prayed in vain. And what does our Lord said? In vain do they worship me for teaching the doctrines, for commandments of men. But the word of God they made of no effect. He who puts the word of God out of effect cannot count with it that the power of God can be manifested. And we must understand in the presence of God that he has sent his word, his mighty word by grace to speak to us. Now, to a couple of passages here, which I just want to touch upon briefly. Actually, I didn't want to be here at all. I don't have to preach always. Here it says on page 8, and now, while the harvest is ripe and the laborers are few, let us come to work. Let us come to it. Perhaps there might be a sinner sitting by. There could be someone for whom tonight might change the whole course of his life. And if it weren't the time this morning, then it could be tonight. That the books might be closed. Remember, There will not be one more come in when those names are redeemed. Now everybody listen really close before I read the scripture. All that ever would be redeemed, God put their names on the Lamb's Book of Life before the world ever came to be created. How many know that? That was the question. I think this we all understood. That God does not depend on time and circumstances, but from eternity on, He purposed and determined everything. So when the last one will be called, who is written in this book, then nobody can be added anymore. Then it continues, then when the last one comes out, whose name was put on the Lamb's Book of Life, that was slain before the foundation of the world, when that last name has been redeemed, then His work is finished. He comes forth then to claim what He has redeemed. That makes our heart bleed. But if it went on 1,000 years later, there would not be one redeemed, unless they were put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Who are they? I don't know. Nobody else knows. Just God alone. I'm trusting that every name of us, our names are on that book. If mine is on there, I'm sure to be there. Here it's about that the last one is called and that the experiences the grace of God. And Brother Branham expresses here, when after that 1,000 years would be, then no one could still be called, because then the time of grace for the nations is over. But God will now surely call the last ones out. Concerning the USA, He said, this nation will not repent, because this nation is finished. It's only about you, individuals, and soon it will be over, if it isn't already. Now, you just mark that down, you young people. See how far Brother Branham, what he said, is right or wrong. It isn't Brother Branham. Also, this we must understand. It's not Brother Branham, but the Lord spoke through him. Sin will get worse and worse until one day the sky will catch on fire. It will fall to the earth, and the earth will burn with fervent heat. But the redeemed won't be here then. They will be gone. So it will be. The bride church, before the judgment, she's taken away. What really touches me in this sermon is the fact that God, on every promise which He has given, He remembers it. And you know most surely the examples from reading which Brother Branham gives, a whole large number of examples which are listed here. For instance, on page 18, he had a wonderful experience, and he says, I just waited a few minutes and I started to get up again. And just as plain as I'd ever want to hear, a voice said, I am the creator of the heavens and the earth. I make the wind and the rain. Then it says, I took off my hat and I said, Great Jehovah, is that you? He said, I was the one who made the winds to cease upon the sea. I was the one who made the waves to go down. I created heavens and earth. Was I not the one that told you to speak for squirrels and they came into existence? I am God. We have the great privilege. We had a great privilege. Not only to hear that God 4,000 years ago, or 3 or 2,000 years ago, that he spoke to one of the prophets. We have the great privilege in this generation we had to hear a man who heard the audible voice of the Creator of heaven and earth. As you hear my voice now, not in his heart or in his thought, but the voice came, it sounded, and he took off his hat and he said, Great Jehovah, is that you? And then came the answer, I was the one who made the winds to cease upon the sea. I was the one who made the waves to go down. I created heavens and earth. Was I not the one that told you to speak for squirrels and they came into existence? I am God. We may ask, but we shouldn't do it. But it can be that we do it. Why has God ordained these things? Why did he take his servant and prophet aside into the woods and suddenly the voice sounds, Speak, and whatever you say, it will take place. And the Lord taught him about Mark 11, 22 and 23. When you speak to this mountain, be thou cast into the sea, and if you do not doubt in your heart, but if you believe that that what you will speak has taken place, then it shall be. And he spoke it out. You all remembered when he tells these things. And he said, it shall take place that a squirrel on that tree, on that branch, shall appear now. And he spoke the last word, and it was there, on the spot, three times in a row. He turned around and said, now one shall be appear there at this bush, on that and that spot. He just spoke it out, and it was there. What happened? God spoke. And because God has spoken, therefore God stood to his word and fulfilled it. It was the creator of the heavens and earth. And God spoke, let there be light. And there was light. God said, let the waters be gathered and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass and herbs and green. And it was so. Whatever God says, this takes place. Now God wants to speak through you and my mouth. And the same word and the same power shall be manifested by the grace of God. Brother Branham knew precisely that he, of course, is able to speak out, but that he is not able to make it a reality. But God is able to do what he promised. And all that, Brother Branham laid as a foundation for this little verse, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. He wanted to make us clear that the Almighty God, through the faith in Jesus Christ, in you and my heart, has taken dwelling. And if we are in the most miserable tabernacles of clay, then the Almighty God is the most powerful which exists. It's not about the tabernacles of clay, but about him who dwells in it. Not so. And if we just nothing but clay, and if the Almighty is in this house of clay, then just forget this tabernacle of clay and remember the Almighty God who comes down in such a way to the people on which many pass by, shaking their heads. And to them God enters in and reveals himself to them and takes dwelling in their heart and reveals to them his mercy and love. We would have bypassed many on whom he didn't bypass. We would have shaken our heads on many while he has taken mercy on them. We think totally different in comparison to God. Here, on page 21, we read, he started to weep after all these experiences. He started to weep, and his tears fell down on the dry leaves. It says, and I heard something going, pat, pat, pat. I thought, what is that? The water's all blown off. The sun is out. What's that splat? I looked down, and it was water from my own eyes, running down through the gray beard and dropping off onto the dry leaves that God had dried up and were lying before me. And I just stood there like this with this hand down, my head lying against the tree, my hand on the rifle sling, like this, just standing there, crying. Would it be different for you and to me? How many people, as they think, after the great blessings of God, they were jumping and jumping. Nothing against it, but I tell you, in a direct encounter with God, there's no jumping. No jumping. There the most inside of a man is touched. You really feel otherwise. And one is squeezed on the inside like a sponge. And what then can come out are just tears, reverence and worship in the presence of God. After all these experiences, he, as one sees here, he was weeping, and the tears were dropping off onto the dry leaves. Would it be different to you? Would it have been different with me when the Lord God, the Almighty One, has revealed himself in such a way. And did you notice? I'm the creator of heavens and earth. And then he said, I commanded the storm. I told the waves, be silent. The same Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New Testament. What a wonderful truth which God revealed to us by His grace, by putting the Old and New Testament on one common denominator, opening our eyes for it, opening our hearts. It goes on, revealing Himself in His sovereignty. Nobody can say, Lord, do this or that. He knows already what He shall do. And he says, oh God, I'm not worthy to be your servant. I said, I'm sorry that I made so many mistakes. Lord, I didn't want to do it, to make mistakes. You are so good to me. Mine eyes closed. Then I heard something. I opened my eyes. Very close to me were three deers. I thought, one for Brother Evans, one for Brother Woods. There are our three deer. Beloved, here comes now a great lesson. A very great lesson. Also to him, something said to him. Something told me. But they are there. With other words, they are there. You don't have to serve yourself. And I thought, yes, this a man said to David once, God delivered him into your hand. You know, it was King Saul. And Joab told him, kill him. There he lies. And he said, God forbid that I should touch His anointed. And those deer stood there and looked at me. And I thought, they can't get away. There's no way for them to get away. They are not 30 yards from me, and so forth. And then it was a deer, and she had babies. This I can't do, I said. I promised it to God. I promised it to God. You all remembered, perhaps it was in the last sermon, how the Lord rebuked him when he, together with the Christian businessmen, he went to hunt, and they all spoke about their business, and they told him, go now, you can shoot good, God will be with you, and then you can shoot for everyone a deer. And the Lord rebuked him, and he said, don't go with them, and don't do it. And now, I promised it to God that I wouldn't do it. And now it comes. How God made use of these opportunities. It's incomprehensible for us. All the three deer stopped and looked at me. I said, Mother, take your babies and go into the woods. You are in my hand. Your life is in my hands. But I'm not going to hurt you. I promised God that I wouldn't do it. I read on. And she walked closer. She looked at me. Just imagine. A deer with her babies. She came closer and looked at me. All of them walked closer till they came so close till they could almost eat of my hands. And the wind was blowing right on them. So she turned around, walked back a little piece, all three of them. Who knows a bit about woods and hunting knows exactly that this is just impossible. Especially when the wind blows into the direction of the animals, then they smell it very far. Before you see them, they smelled you already. And here comes the mother with her babies, very close to him, so that he almost could feed them of his hand. And then he says, "Mother, take your babies and go in the woods. You are in my hand, your life is in my hand, but I'm not going to hurt you. I promised God that I wouldn't." I read on. Here comes a great lesson. You see, for me, a great lesson. We always want that God fulfills His promise, and that what He promised, that He does it on us. But are we also ready to do what we promised to Him, our vows? Are we ready to fulfill everything towards Him, what we told Him? He is ready to do everything what He promised to us. How is it with me? Sometimes I told the Lord, "Lord, if you don't believe me anymore, then I'm not angry with you." That's how it is with us people. We're just people. But God is God. He stands to His word. It goes on. Go into the woods. I will spare you. Just go and live. I stood there. They went on walking into the woods. I wiped my face like that. And just then something happened. A voice spoke out, just as clear, right out of those blue skies. It had all been within just a little bit of time, and the voice spoke out and said, "You remembered your promise, didn't you?" In the English, the word promise, in English there's only one word for promise. In German, we have a couple of words. Brother Frank speaks about it. There's only one word in the English. One has to see what word in German one uses for the word promise, what fits there. So, you remembered your promise, didn't you? I said, "Yes, Lord." He said, "I will remember mine too. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now I'm asking you, didn't the Lord promise this to us? "I will never leave you nor forsake you." Didn't He promise, "I will be with you all the days until the end of the world"? And here's the living God says, our Lord, "You remembered your promise. I remember mine too. And whatever I promised, I will do. I will never leave you nor forsake you." Now comes a nice sentence. "The burden left my heart. It hasn't been there since. May it never return again." In such an hour, with such an experience, the most heavy burden can be taken from a man who has the privilege and grace to come into the presence of God. Beloved, we have today the same grace, the same access, by the shed blood of the Lamb, coming into the presence of God. And may He remind you and me on that what we promised to Him. Then He will not forsake to fulfill what He promised. The day and the hour must come in which God's word in you and in my mouth is the truth, and even more than that, confirmed as the truth on the spot, as it was with Brother Branham in this lesson. Speak and it shall happen. And it happened on the spot. Not only go, your faith has helped you, but on the spot it happened. And this shall be the final ministry in the church of the living God. That we don't send the people away, making ourselves ridiculous, but that God stands to his word as the creator of the heavens and the earth, who spoke to us, who called us, and who gave us this teaching by his grace. But just to reach one goal, namely the calling out and the completion of the bride church, to bring us into conformity with his word, his spirit, with his counsel, so that he can bless us. What was here? A man went in hunting clothes. In one of the coming brochures, I don't know when it is finished and will be sent out, there you will see two photos, Brother Branham with his son Joseph, when they both were raising their hands towards heaven, and the Lord comes down with fire, and the fire can be seen directly on the rock. Brother Branham speaks in the sermon about it. And then next to it, we have the photo in which Brother Branham is shown with his hunting clothes. One doesn't come to God with a tie and a suit, but a humble heart and a broken spirit God will not despise. He doesn't look on you and my clothing. He looks into you and my heart. Whether we believe him tonight, whether we can say, Lord, we trust you. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And if we grasp this by faith, then we are aware that God's word is a mighty word, and that all the power of the enemy has to submit to the power of God, and that the Lord alone is Lord. There's only one Lord, and this is the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. To him we can trust everything. He's also able to do everything. Here Brother Branham emphasizes, and with this we come slowly to the close. He says, if we could only receive this truth, now just a moment, if we could only realize what this scripture means, if it could only be revealed to us by the Spirit what this scripture means, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. And the stronger ones has the power, has the victor, the victory. He's the stronger is stronger. If two fight, the stronger is the stronger. And it says, he that is in you is greater, is mightier than he that is in the world. And the question, if we could only understand what this scripture means, just to read and to bypass it is not enough, but to deepen oneself in it, saying, Lord, how does the practical application looks like? What do you have to say to us and to the church? What is it about today in this great lesson? And we see that the Lord, in connection with these two scriptures, the one from Mark 11, especially verse 22 and 23, as we mentioned, and then this scripture from 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. These two scriptures, and to these two scriptures, the mighty experiences he gave him, which he had. And God from heaven, with an audible voice, he gives him the promise, I am the Almighty God, the Creator of the heavens and the earth. God doesn't need to speak to you and to me with an audible voice. He spoke to you and to me through the mouth of him to whom he spoke. And God's speaking is alive. And God's word is mighty. It works in our hearts. And as we read it last Wednesday from the prophet Isaiah, oh, what a wonderful word. It's written, my word which proceedeth from my mouth shall not return void unto me, but it shall accomplish for what I have sent it for, and will accomplish what I wanted. Not what we want, but what he wants. God sends his word to acquaint us with his plan of salvation. God reveals unto us his word so that we recognize his will. But then he wants to confirm his word, putting it into power, into the creation power, delivering power. And this we believe with all our hearts. Not we will accomplish, but God's word will accomplish. If you and I would have to accomplish something, then we could pack our suitcases and go. But God has sent his word, and his word does not return void. It cannot return void. It must accomplish for what he has sent it for. And why did Brother Brim say in the sermon, this scripture, I always left it out. And in all these years, I didn't preach about it. It would have been a nice text to preach about. He always left it out. When the time was fulfilled, when the hour came, the Lord made him attentive to this word, gave him the lessons, the teachings, and with this to you and to me, to all of the called out multitude in this last time. And then also, with this experience, you remembered your promise. I remember mine too, whatever I promised. Is this not wonderful? We as people, we sing in this one chorus, we are forgetful and weak. God is strong. He is the Almighty. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. With this one statement, let us come to the close. If we have this truth, if we could only just receive this truth, just for a moment, if we could only realize what this scripture means, he that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Then we would understand that the enemy is not afraid of you and me. But when Christ dwells in you and me, then we can say like David, you are coming with spear and with all that, whatever you, I come in the name of the Lord. And the God who sent him was with him, knew his thought, his heart, was leading it. And I believe the same will apply for us by his grace. I believe it. I believe with all my heart that the living God will complete his work in these days. And I believe with all my heart that the bright church is not a flock of wethers in which everyone does what he likes, but is walking forward in an order, in lockstep, under the anointing of the Spirit, by the revelation of the Word, until God can manifest himself. And God will manifest himself, for these are promises which he has given, and we remain standing on them. And we know God keeps what he promises. Oh, even a heavy heart gets light here, and a sad heart gets new courage in the presence of God, knowing that his grace and his mercy is so great, it goes beyond our thinking and beyond what we can. God is faithful. He answered, I also remember my promise. I will never leave you nor forsake you. The burden left my heart. It hasn't been there since. May it never return again. May God give me such a day where the burden is taken away and where we can walk forward unburdened by faith with our Lord. For we are in a victorious triumph. Although the powers of enemy resist us, the Lord is the victor of Calvary, and he in us is stronger than he that is in the world. Because on the cross of Calvary, our Lord defeated the enemy, death, hell. He defeated everything. And he dwells in you and my heart. Blessed be his wonderful and glorious holy name. Amen. Let us stand up and pray and thank. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word, which we could hear again. Also this evening, you have prepared us a food. Lord, we know we will be with you as victors. And the promises which you have given to your people, you will fulfill them, Lord. At your time, O God, you remember your promises. You remember your word. You remembered us. You didn't bypass us, but you received us. You were searching us, and you also found us. And for this we worship you, and we praise your holy name. Lord, we want to come closer to thee also tonight, nearer to your Father's heart, closer to your chest and breast. Oh, may we walk with you day for day, hour by hour. We want to be with you, Lord, and you are abiding with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. We are so happy about it. We give you the glory. Hallelujah. We worship you. We are so happy for your precious word, which we could hear. Lord, how wonderful you have spoken to your servant, to your prophet. Also through wonderful experiences you have given us. And tonight you have spoken to us. Praise be to your name. Lord, we cannot do otherwise but to praise your name, thanking you, O God. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise and thanks. Perhaps we sing a song together before we close this service. Perhaps let us sing 680. 680. Nearer to thee, nearer to thee. I believe this we all want. We want to be nearer and nearer to him. 680. Praise and thanks be to the Lord. Now the grace of the Lord be with you until tomorrow.